Welcome to the final part, 5, of July's OnCoalesce monograph. I appreciate it being a long edition. It seems a while since we started off in July. But from talking to oncologists, I do believe that breaking it down into manageable chunks like this does appear to be better and easier for you all to absorb as you're listening to it. So, part 5. If I had a dollar for every time I heard, "We need more data," present an overview of the data from 2 publications they've been working on. The first looks at their efforts to increase our knowledge base of the genomic landscape, inferring from human data a wealth of information that we would never just get directly from canine research. And then secondly, they look at genomic prognostic markers and the improvement in progression-free survival when dogs received guided targeted therapy versus doing nothing. Here's the thing, the therapeutic future is clearly going to be in part genetically driven. And Vidium are working hard to help you improve the options you can offer your clients. So this is a longer one. The presentation itself is actually short, but as you can imagine, the panel had a lot of thoughts on the subject. And before we carry on, I should apologize for the background noises that you may or may not be able to pick up. I have been traveling for a month now. I'm somewhere in Florida, I guess near Miami, and I knew I had to record this, so I'm in a hotel room. I've tried to minimize the noise, but there are people moving around and people outside, so let's see how it goes. And also, the manuscripts we're discussing, the primary author was Dr. Esther Chon, who is the board-certified oncologist who works with Vidium, and she provides the summary presentation as well as the feedback from the thoughts and comments of the panel. So the first manuscript, describing the caninization of genomic biomarkers. So they performed a structured analysis of sequence conservation and conversion of human mutations to the canine genome through a caninization process applied to COSMIC, the most prominent human cancer mutation database. A total of 670 canine author logs were found for 721 genes and 365K unique mutations across 160 tumor types, and these were converted to canine coordinates. They identified shared putative cancer-driving mutations, including pathogenic and hotspot mutations, and mutations bearing similar biomarker associations with diagnostic, prognostic, and therapeutic utility. This structured caninization of human cancer mutations facilitates the interpretation and annotation of canine mutations, allowing for the reasonable inference of mutation-based biomarker data from the information-rich human oncology space. This responsibly meets the needs in veterinary medicine and shows the potential for what can be accomplished with genomic diagnostics in veterinary oncology based on strong science. This ultimately increases our standards and the quality of our product. So, Esther's footnote, please check it out. The manuscript was published in VCO and is entitled "Standing in the Canine Precision Medicine Knowledge Gap: Improving Annotation of Canine Cancer Genomic Biomarkers Through Systematic Cooperative Analysis of Human Cancer Mutations in COSMIC." And then the second manuscript, Vidium submitted, describing novel genomic prognostic biomarkers for canine cancer patients. Clinical and genomic data were collected and analyzed from dogs for which searchlight DNA had been performed, and clinical and genomic variables were evaluated for association with progression-free survival. There were 127 dogs included for the PFS analysis. Diagnoses spanned 26 cancer histologies. Dogs that received targeted therapy prior to first progression or death, which was N equals 45, experienced significantly longer PFS compared to those that did not. And that's N equals 82, a p-value of 0.012. Dogs that received genomically informed targeted therapy, which was N equals 29, experienced significantly improved PFS compared to dogs that received therapy that was not genomically informed. And that was an N equals 98 with a p-value of 0.05. The most common targeted therapies given in the genomically informed setting were olaparib, sirolimus, and trametinib. And the tables for this and more data is provided in the monographs. Six genes, which were CCND1, SMARCB1, FANCG, CDKN2B, MSH6, and CCND3, were significantly associated with progression-free survival. And this information will be presented as a poster at the upcoming ACVIM 2023 forum this month. If you're attending, please check it out. So now to the thoughts and comments from the panel. Firstly, the thoughts on the presentation. It is great to see how we can learn from the human data. I'm also excited to see that using informed targeted therapy increases progression-free survival. I like that the dosing chart is provided, because I do always struggle with how to dose these drugs in dogs. And then Esther comments, thank you for this kind comment. We are glad the dosing chart is helpful. To be a resource for the clinicians was one of the reasons we decided to include it in the manuscript. Thank you, Vidium. This is long-awaited and helps provide some validation and confidence to offer clients when discussing these therapies. I look forward to more extensive follow-up with more mature data. I love this work. This helps fill a void, as the question often comes up on the translational side of our work as to whether we have validated canine genomics for our comparative models. It is great to see the additional evaluation of informed targeted therapy adding to increased progression-free survival, but I do still believe we need to be cautious at interpreting this with small numbers overall and small numbers in each tumour histology. And I do insert an editor's comment here. This small number, is this compared to the large number we currently have for all of these rare histologies with limited or no established standard of care? Anyway, Esther's comments, absolutely. Our plan is to continue to have this data mature while also collecting more patient data for a higher sample size. So we will add to the numbers. I like that there's some basis in human data as well. Although obviously we can't always translate 100% between species, it does lend some validity to our clinical decisions. I appreciate that Vidium continues to try to contribute to the literature, and the prognostic information sounds very helpful. Thank you for your kind comments. We are doing our best to contribute as much meaningful and impactful information as possible to clinicians. It is great to have the data that these patients receiving targeted therapy are doing better. I appreciate the investment in research Vidium is making. While we can all appreciate that we still have much to learn, it does add to our knowledge base and helps us make better evidence-based decisions for our patients. And finally, I thought that this is a good start to the research. We need to start being able to understand targeted therapies and also what to do with genetic analysis when we get them. We are starting to build up a database that is more canine orientated and not just relying on what human data can provide. It is also nice to see that the data that has been obtained does potentially change the prognosis, which gives us more science when we are using targeted therapies. And on to questions, which is concerns and clarifications. There is a lot of debate about the dose of targeted therapies in dogs. Can you explain where you found your doses? The doses of targeted therapies were those reported by the veterinarians that prescribed them for their patients. While we did not explicitly ask each veterinarian where they found those doses, our guess is that they found them for a variety of sources, such as the NDA and publications. While we have to be cautious, hopefully by collecting case information, we can develop protocols for diseases that have limited options. I would like to see more work in cats. We agree. This was the first of many steps towards identifying appropriate and efficacious dosing of targeted therapies that are genomically guided. We also love to see more genomic work in cats. I'm often cautious about how we interpret the effectiveness of targeted therapies, of course. I have far too many questions that have not been answered, and many targeted agents are huge failures in human medicine. So, questions. Genomics is identifying mutations, but how do we know that these are the drivers of the tumor? How do we know that these are druggable targets in the canine species? And thirdly, do we have informed PK/PD data in our patients to justify dosing and dose regimes? I know many times we can find information in the FOI, Freedom of Information of the Drug. Compounding pharmacies have yet to perform any such studies, and this worries me even more as I know most of these are compounded for our patients. We are now in the era of potentially valuable information, but whether the information is useful and will help our patients clinically still remains to be seen. Some good points there. And that's the comments. You raise great questions that we have to definitely answer as a veterinary community. Whether certain mutations are drivers is largely derived from frequency of occurrence and their functional impact on protein sequences and structure. So we anticipate that as more genomics are performed on canine tumours, we will gain a clearer picture of what mutations are true drivers in canine tumours. In the same vein, as more of these mutations are used to inform targeted therapy selection, we anticipate gaining a better understanding of which ones are worth targeting. As you noted, there is a fair amount of PK and safety information in the FOI summaries and the NDAs of the drugs. But as you also mentioned, the vast majority of targeted therapeutics are compounded, so getting PK information of compounded targeted therapeutics would be highly valuable. Collectively, this information would elucidate mutation landscapes that will reveal important mutations worth targeting and also inform new drug development. I agree with the described concerns about efficacy, appropriate dosing and potency, especially because it seems like many of the drugs are only available through a single compounding pharmacy. I would add that I'm curious about the publication on prognostic markers. Other than through Searchlight, are tests for these prognostic factors commercially available? Currently, we are not aware of any other commercially available test that will identify genomic mutations specifically as prognostic factors. Were the dogs receiving targeted therapies prior to progression on concurrent other therapeutics, and any adverse event data captured? So there's a bit more data here. Of the dogs that received targeted therapies prior to first progression, 20% did not have any other concurrent therapy. A third had one other therapy, including surgery, chemotherapy, and immunotherapy. And 40% had two other therapies, out of surgery and chemo, radiation and chemo and immunotherapy. And 6.7% had surgery and chemotherapy and immunotherapy. These are all tabulated in the manuscript as a supplemental table, so please stay tuned for the publication. Adverse events were not specifically captured since they were beyond the scope of the study. However, as I, and that's Dr. John, was the one mining the records, I made the observation that there were very few adverse events experienced by patients receiving targeted therapies, and most of those AEs were low grade. Can you provide additional clarity on how the cancer-driving mutations were identified? Were they presumed to be cancer-driving mutations because they have been identified as drivers in people? Most cancer-driving mutations were characterized in humans. Therefore, their driver role is inferred based on their functional or pathogenic impact in humans, as well as the striking conservation that we identified in the study. Although overall canine data is lacking, there are some examples of equivalent mutations that also function similarly in drivers as drivers in dogs as they do in humans, e.g. the PIK3CA, HER2, and the MEK mutations. I agree with other comments about being cautious about the use of targeted therapies, since many of these are human products and that we do not know what the optimum dosing is for many of these drugs, and recently learned that there can be a big difference in efficacy depending on what the compounder is using to make the drug. This part may be beyond the scope of the company, but there also needs to be a group working on the targeted therapy perspective. Thank you for your comments. I wholeheartedly agree that we as a veterinary community need to come up with these answers, and involving compounding pharmacies is a great step to take. I know that there are several institutions out there currently working to generate this data, so we are slowly heading in the right direction. And then a discussion on any experience of what has been discussed. And at that point, I actually had to stop the recording and re-edit it into two separate podcasts because it appears that my website isn't able to take the file size of the whole podcast. So there we go. That was the end of part one. Part two is going to be available. If you can download that separately, I will see you in a bit.